Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Where was Jamie?
Jamie jumped up and looked right in the camera.
Yeah, taking over the podcast from me.
My mom's busy. What can I do? What can I do? It was pretty cute.
The cat's taken over. I like it.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
It's so funny, because when I do my morning pages, you know, so when I do my morning pages in a big book, he just bites, because he's not getting the attention, she just bites the book, bites the pen, stands on the book. I'm like, okay, love, calm down.
You look very fresh, Maureen. I must say, yes. So do you, Alison. I actually look terrible, as always.
This is a new dress.
It's a really nice dress.
$3.99.
Yeah. Of course it's $3.99. Maureen, bring your camera up a bit so I can see your face. Lovely.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Not just your tats.
To be fair, they're quite a nice pair of boobs, but
they
yeah.
They look absolutely great rack you've got there, Maureen.
That dress, they look tremendous.
It's a really
good
dress.
I must say, you're on fire. That dress that you wore on... Oh, God, what day
Friday.
Was it? Friday.
Yes, at Hackney.
That was such a lovely dress.
That was monsoon, very expensive monsoon dress for $9.99.
It was such a nice dress, Alison, honestly.
Yeah, you would have loved it, Alison.
She works magic with dresses. I don't know what secondhand stores you're going to, but...
I've got no room in my wardrobes now.
Where you're putting it.
I don't either. I mean, at one point, the racks are going to just collapse. I bought a new jacket yesterday as well. Nice sheepskin jacket. I was like, because I haven't got enough coats.
You just bought 3 coats, didn't you? The one you wore on... Oh, sorry, my voice is... Because it's so early in the morning. I sound like a teenage boy whose voice is breaking.
The one I wore on Friday was lovely.
That's a nice coat, isn't it?
Yeah, £20, Eastex.
I can't believe that was £20. That's a couple hundred quid, that coat, isn't it?
Oh, it's a really expensive coat. Really lovely coat. And I'm quite glad I met it because I met Gok Wan on Friday. So I was glad that I looked the part.
Yeah, we had a little bit of Gok. Gok came to my show on Friday at the Hackney Empire. And that's the end of that anecdote, I think.
Gok is actually best friends with... this is the first time I'm going to say it on this podcast. I hope it's okay. We took a little break, but I do another little podcast, Horror Motel, and Martin Buddy Galore, who I do it with, is best friends with Gok.
Oh, Gok wants best friends with a lot of people.
Is he?
I think I might be now one of his best friends.
Oh, my God, I want to be one of his best friends. Gok, if you're listening, I should be your new best friend. Yeah.
Gok's not listening, believe me.
He's not listening to this. But he's a really nice chap.
He's lovely.
He's really got a good conversation.
I think he might be one of the most charismatic people I've ever met in my life.
Oh, my God.
Apart from you and Alison, of course.
I mean, Maureen, I was just about to say, Gok has an aura, as do you. And Alison. There's an aura that he has around him. You know how people that are just supposed to be famous have like an aura? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got one of those. So people are drawn to him. I went to sit down and poor Gok had moved because somebody had wanted a selfie with him. And I went to sit down. I nearly sat on Gok. And then this couple were like, excuse me, we're trying to have a picture taken. And I was like, so dreadful.
So sorry.
I just hold it, hack me. Do you mind?
I'm so dreadfully sorry, but you're sitting in my seat. But that's okay. I'm so sorry. And then when someone sits in your seat and it's like, could you get out of the way, please? Oh, right. Okay. anyway, yeah, that was nice. That was fun. Alison, how's your week been, my lovely?
My week's been really good, except for the fact that, look, I don't mean to go negative out of the gates here, guys.
No, do it. That's usually what I do, so you do it.
Can we talk the bed bug infestation that is happening in Paris and is slowly making its way over to the UK?
Didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing, Maureen. It's a thing right now. Well, it's a thing.
They're disinfecting all the tubes, aren't they? Because there's bed bugs on the tubes, apparently.
Well, they keep saying, it's not out of control. Everything's okay right now. But I'm seeing videos of people showing bed bugs on the Victoria line, showing the actual...
Yeah, the Victoria line is supposed to be the worst. Ooh, Maureen, watch out.
Ooh.
And if you can see bed bugs, you're in trouble. Bed bugs are like one of my personal phobias, being a person who travels in hotels. And I've had a bunch of comedian friends back in Canada. Now, it's not even the quality of the hotel. Fancy, fancy hotels. I had a friend who got got bitten to death in a real high-end hotel. I've had friends, you know, bitten. I do a bed bug inspection all the time. I've, like, learned so many things to look for. And just this is actually... the fact that it's happening, I'm terrified. I called my mom yesterday and I was like, Mom, there's bed bugs. And she's like, oh God, you've been worried about that for years. I was like, I have been, Mom. So I'm protected though because my mom prayed that I will not get any bed bugs.
That's
so if you
gonna
want,
really help.
Anyone who wants any prayers from my mom, she's willing to pray for bed bugs. We discussed things going on in the world, but she decided to pray for me and bed bugs. So
you know
I love you, Mom.
Because I listened to a conversation on the tube and they were talking about bed bugs on the tube or something. And I was like, what are these idiots on about? I was like, you don't get bed bugs on the tube, twats.
Yes,
and,
you do,
anyway,
Maureen.
Luckily, I didn't voice my derision.
Turns out you do, Maureen. Turns out you do. To be honest, I've been on the Victoria line quite a bit. I've not seen a single bed bug. I don't know. I mean, I think there's a little bit of hysteria around this as well. I'm not saying that there aren't bed bugs for anyone that's sitting there going, actually, Jennifer, I think you'll find that there's bed bug a go-go out there. Just because you haven't seen them doesn't mean they don't exist. I'm not saying that. I just
it's
think
like God.
It's yeah, exactly. It's just maybe not quite as... I don't think it's quite as bad as they're freaking out about. I don't even know how bad it is in Paris.
It's bad.
Maybe it is absolutely horrific, but I don't think it's quite at that stage here in the UK. I mean, it's something to be aware of. I suppose if you are concerned, don't sit down on the chairs.
Good point.
That's,
very
that's
valid point.
Number one. That great for you, Maureen.
Yes. Also,
I will still sit down. If it's bed bugs and sitting down or standing, I'm going to go for the bed bugs.
Oh, my God, Maureen. I don't even want you to say those words out loud.
I'm
I don't even
standing.
Want you to say.
Oh, Jamie's behind me.
Oh, Jamie's behind. All I'm going to say is, as we travel over the next little while, because Jen, you know, touring around, and I know Maureen and I have both been with you, which has been fantastic, suitcases in the bathtub from now on. Not on the bed, not on the floor. Just say.
Really?
Yeah, in the bathtub, because the bed bugs, there's no fabric. So
you don't like
put your
ceramic.
Suitcases. No. Sorry, I don't mean to go on about it, but we all need to be aware.
Fair enough.
Well, I mean, I'll add that to the list of things I've got to think about.
You're welcome. You're welcome,
Jen. Do you know
Jen?
What I mean? It's just too much.
I've had a less stressful week because I started knitting this jumper ages ago and never finished it. So I'm now finishing this jumper.
Oh no, not the dreaded jumper.
No, this is a different pattern.
Oh, I like it. Is it a V-neck? Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm doing the, I just didn't sew it up and I've got to do the neck bit and then that's finished. So I'm showing this because it kind of features in my Be More Maureen. So this knitted jumper, it's quite a nice jumper.
Beautiful red.
It looks great, Maureen. I can't wait to see it on. You've
got so many jumpers.
You've got a new lease of life, haven't you?
You know,
do you notice that, Alison? Do you think Maureen's reverberating?
Oh my God, are you kidding? She's glowing with energy and optimism.
She's glowing with energy.
Oh, saying that, yes. I fell asleep yesterday afternoon for 3 or 4 hours. But you know that behavioral activation thing, which I sent you both?
Yes.
It's really, really
yes.
good tool.
I am really going to look into it. I actually was like, Maureen, send me that information
Maureen sent it to me as well, and I will also take a look at it because I think it's almost like CBT, isn't it? Like
it is a CBT thing.
It is it?
Yeah.
Well, I think anyone can make use of that.
Yeah.
For a part of their life that's not that they feel like, oh, I need to get on top of.
Yeah,
this
I put a link on my social media to which explains it. But I just find it's very, because even if I don't keep to it, I look at it and I had knitting as one of the things to do, and I thought, well, why don't I just finish knitting that jumper? Which has been in a box for about 2 years. I've knitted it all apart from one little bit. So, yeah, I think it's really helping me, I think.
Well, I can see that it's helping you. And also just in terms of you, like, writing new stand-up and you wanting to be, you know, more proactive about stuff that you want to do with your career. Well, I mean, you haven't had the headspace to do it before.
No, that's true.
To be fair. So, I mean, there's also that. But, yeah, you haven't wasted any time.
No.
And Alison, I have to say the same for you, actually. I wanted to say this to you the other day. I've been very impressed. You've been bibbing and bobbing and making all of the changes and being very proactive. And, you know, as we've said in the last episode, Alison has organised a tour. You know, like, this is stuff that's really hard to get to the place where you can do it. And I'm just so proud of you for doing it, because it is tricky, particularly, as we said the other day, if you haven't got, if people aren't getting you on the telly, if you're not allowed, do you know what I mean? How are you supposed to, as a performer, get the audience to come and see you and find you? Because if they find you, they'll bloody love you.
But they've got to know about you first.
They've got to know about you first. So that's and I think, Alison, this will be the start, and then you can just keep touring and touring as and when.
You're so lovely, Jen, and it's because of you that, you know,
I'm even being able to...
Yes, it is. Your audience is... Look, we won't talk comedy too much, but I just want to say this. This is a part of what I think in life is networking, and I think sometimes women, we haven't been given the opportunity to network like some gentlemen have. So, like,
I agree.
There's lots of men who tour or lots of men in business who get something, and then they go, hey, my mate... you know, either you introduce them to the audience or you introduce them to a position. And I just think because women haven't been in so many positions higher up that we haven't been able to do that networking for other sisters like the bros have been able to.
Or
so,
even if you get there, you've been told there's only
space for one.
Islander. Highlander. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's only you. And so then, you know, there's this whole idea, well, I can't invite anyone else in because that will mean that I'll get pushed out. Yeah. Which I think is a nonsense.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
But also my audiences are, I mean, if anyone is listening that has come to see me on tour, I think my audience may be the best audience.
They are amazing. You are all electric.
Any comedian's audience.
Anyone who's bought a ticket to Jen's show so far that I've seen, and I'm sure Maureen that you've seen, oh my God, they're so lovely.
Oh my God, some of the shows we've had have been ridiculous. Yeah. Like, you're just like... what is wrong with you? I mean, before any of us have even walked on stage, they're like, wah! Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm not bringing that energy. We all know that.
That's not true. And listeners, WTB listeners who are going to Jen's show, thank you. What a treat. I literally can hear them. I don't know about you, Maureen, but you hear sometimes in the crowd, we walk on stage and you're like, oh, that's a WTB listener.
Yeah,
And you're like, oh yeah, I really am friends with Jen, guys. Like, it's almost like they're like, you're not lying. You guys know her. So it's been real fun. It's been fun.
That's not what they're saying. They're going, that's Alison from WTB.
I hope that's Maureen does doing a moment live in front of us.
I mean,
you
that's
know?
Quite like, possible. That is quite possible.
I mean, to be fair, I don't know if actually that has happened, but
no,
it's
but
possible.
It's quite feasible, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
I don't wish that, but it would be fun if people were like, those of you who are at the blah, blah, blah show, do you remember when? And I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to imagine anything bad happening.
It's going to happen at some point.
Let's be honest, there's still enough time in this tour for that to happen.
I hope it happens when we're all together, because there's a couple of shows that we're all three of us are going to be there, hey? So I hope it does, so we can be like, it just happened, everyone. Yeah.
Yes, coming up at the end of November, if you are coming to see either the show in Manchester or Nottingham. What am I saying?
Manchester, Nottingham.
Manchester.
Birmingham?
Manchester and Nottingham.
Birmingham, I think,
you will see the WTB trio. And you're welcome. anyway, we've all had a week, which is absolutely dynamite. As always, kicking it in the proverbial D-I-C-K. But now it's time to turn to the younger of the Maureen kind, for she has a moment, and it is absolutely bananas. What is your people Maureen moment, Maureen?
I messaged Jen, I have just put olive oil in my eyes. And I was like, sitting there going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No,
you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
Well, it wasn't the one I was going to say, which was Jamie related. It's one that I'm going to do. It just happened about an hour ago. So,
oh, then it's not the one that I thought.
No, it's not the one you thought. So you don't know this.
Ah. Well, so, why didn't we talk about that then?
So anyway, we had to get up. We were recording this at 8, which for comics is incredibly early. I know people with normal jobs.
8 in
like,
the morning.
Yeah, 8 morning.
In the morning. You're going, well, anyway, so I woke up. It was about 7. And my cat always sleeps at the bottom of my bed. And I could see her. And I was like, somehow she was between my legs. It was a really uncomfortable position. I was like, I did this thing where I can't move because I wake the cat up. I mean, it's not a I've done this before with a cat where I didn't move for 3 hours. And then I eventually moved at 3:30 in the morning. And the cat got up and went back straight to sleep. I mean, cats don't suffer from insomnia. But I was like, I can't wake Jamie up. I can't wake
You can totally wake Jamie up.
Anyway, so I am lounging like this. In the end, I was like, it was weird she hasn't come up because she normally comes up to me when she knows I'm awake. Anyway, it turns out it wasn't Jamie. It was a ball of wool. It was a red ball of wool.
So, Maureen, you didn't move because you didn't want to disturb a red ball of wool. I don't want to wake up the wool.
The wool gets so angry when it's
woken up. I mean,
if it
would have been black, you could have said, well, you know. But look at the size of
it. It's red. And also, it's tiny. Maureen, how could you possibly have thought that was a cat?
Oh, well,
it's one-third the size of the cat. One-fourth.
One-third the size, yeah, of Jamie. I don't know. I just
And the weight as well. It's wool. It doesn't weigh anything.
I just saw the lump there.
How did you even notice it was there?
I just saw the lump there between my legs.
You saw a red lump between your legs and you thought it was Jamie.
For some reason, I didn't notice it was red. I just saw this
lump.
So
wait a second. No, okay, all right. Sorry, I've just got to unpack this.
Was it under the blanket? Was it?
No, it was on top of the blanket.
Oh, no, it was on top of the blanket.
I was willing to defend you.
Wait a second.
I must have been half asleep.
Yeah, sure. You're half asleep. You feel... I don't know how you can feel it because it's a ball of wool, which is, all, as we know, not very heavy. You feel a ball of wool near your feet and you're like, that's the cat. You get up to check.
Now, I kind of look up and I can see the bump.
You look up.
See the bump.
You look up. You see the bump.
The red bump.
The red bump.
Well, I didn't notice that it was red, obviously.
You didn't notice it was red. So you saw it.
But I didn't take in that it was red.
But you didn't take it in. Oh, my God. I mean, there's nothing. Finally, we've got to a Beam of Water.
Yeah.
Because it's been a few where we've gone, I can see how that happened. Yeah, that could have happened to anyone. But now we're back in the room with Maureen Younger, who has a Beam of Maureen moment that I'm like, no, Maureen, nobody would have looked at a ball of wool or felt a ball of wool and thought it was a cat. They would have gone, that is a ball of wool.
Yeah, but I just saw like there was like a, I just saw it, but I didn't click it was red. And then...
You saw it.
And then when I looked...
It's funny, that.
The second time I looked, I was like, oh, it's red. And then I realised it was a ball of wool.
Oh, my God, I love you so much. Well, Jen, we've all been there. You've woken up. Oh, my God, is that one of my children? No, just a cotton ball. You've been there. We've all been there. We've all been there.
Oh, my God, yeah, that's true. Alison, oft is the time I've mistaken my child.
Oh, cotton ball, shit. I thought it was a kid. All right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. There we go. Yeah, it happens. You know what it's like? We see, there's a little indentation in the bed. It must be a child.
That's quite a good Beam of Maureen, isn't it?
It's a really good one. We're delighted with that.
That's best of the series so far. that you thought a ball of wool was a cat.
We should rank them. We should really be keeping track and be like, what's our, review, the best of our favorite Maureen. Let's do that. Listeners, if you have favorites, keep them in mind and let us know.
Another great example of Maureen's fantastic observation skills.
That's why I'm an observational comic.
Yeah, absolutely. Dynamite.
You ever been there where you thought it was a cat, but it was just a... Well, hey!
Definitely open with that. Here's something we can all relate to.
Yeah.
The old cat ball of wool scenario. Yeah, we've all been there.
Oh, my God.
Well, anyway, Maureen, thank you very much for your Be More Maureen moment. Finally, this one did not disappoint. But now let's turn back to AJS, begin calling her from now on. AJ, it doesn't really have a ring, does it? Ajraj. Or Alison June Smith, because it's time to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Thank you again, listeners who have written in. I'm very grateful for sharing all of your situations. Again, not a professional here, but love to listen. Here we go. This one. Hi, Allison. Wondering if you can help me with this one. My partner and I have been together for 10 years or so and have a wonderful son. My girlfriend is awesome. She's kind, funny, loyal, all the things that you could want from a partner. But the physical side of our relationship went years ago, and I miss having that with someone. Sex aside, there's no intimacy whatsoever. We don't even really cuddle. I've raised it up before, and she says it's just from being overtouched with the kids, but I suspect it's more than that. I think for both of us, our relationship has changed. We adore each other, and we make great co-parents and best friends, but I suspect that that's where things end. I think about leaving occasionally, but I do love our lives together. I love spending time with her, and I wouldn't want that to end. Leaving also means breaking up the family. I can't even picture how that would work. At the same time, though, I came out of the closet in my 20s, and sometimes I wonder what was the point of that. I don't feel that way about her anymore, and I miss being with someone who I'm attracted to who feels that way about me. Everything else is good, though, so do I stay? If you could tell me what to do, that would be much appreciated. First off, thank you for sharing your problem. Secondly, no one can ever tell you what to do, and no one should ever tell you what to do. Can I just say that right away? Okay? No one ever should tell you what to do. Me, no one. Okay? But I appreciate your looking for suggestions. So I've got some things. Okay. Number one, you mentioned your son. You have a family. I'm just curious, how long has it been since she's had the child? How old is the child? Sometimes after birthing, it can take a long time to get back into the groove, right? So I was just curious about how old is your child, and maybe that has a little bit to do with things, okay? Have you revisited this conversation with her? Why aren't we doing this, or not an attack, but start with, I am feeling like, you know, we are not, and I am feeling statements. That way it's never an attack. You're not accusing anyone of anything, but you have every right to discuss how you feel. So just curious if you've revisited that. It's interesting because there's a thing called the prickle effect. And I was reading about this, and I think it's a very common thing. Often with couples, you get to the point where the only time you are touching is to engage sex. And so you get to the point then that maybe if you're not in the mood, someone touches you and you don't even want to, you know, it's called the prickle effect. Sometimes just spending time and touching each other, I mean, sitting on the couch and holding hands, just an arm around one another, touch that doesn't lead to sex can begin to reignite the intimacy. So maybe having a conversation with your partner about that, not even sex, just like, hey, you know, Can we begin the cuddle again? Can we just begin that, okay, to avoid what they call the prickle effect, which, hey, you are not alone in this sort of thing, okay? There's a lot of couples, a lot of us out there that go through these situations. So don't be upset about that. Spend time without the kids. I know it must be hard in this day and age, but if you can do something with your partner without the child, again, not a sexy, intimate thing. I'm talking just go to a movie, go to dinner. Things with just the two of you, so you remember you have a world without the kids. You two are a team. That's really important. You can learn something new together. I was reading about some couples who, like, took a class, learned a second language. Cooking together, make a point to, like, okay, once a week, we're going to make a meal together. You know, doing things to exercise together. Are you an exercising couple? Things to do together. When we want to get into the world of sex, I know this sounds ridiculous, but you kind of, I think sometimes we got to make it a priority. It sounds so unsexy to be like, shall we schedule an appointment for 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday? But you know what? Sometimes that's what needs to happen. The world is busy, right? It's a busy place. So maybe eventually looking into that. Of course, I'm going to say speak with a therapist, a counselor, someone who specializes in this. But I know sometimes it can even take a while to get to that point. So a few steps ahead of that, I think these might help a bit. But it is better to talk about this with your partner and the person you love and trust than not, and have things maybe get worse or have things eventually, you know, you act out on. I think discussing, as uncomfortable as it may be, is your best key. And I wish you the best of luck, and just know you're not alone. And this is very common. And yeah, I hope that that gives you some place to start. And thank you so much for sharing this problem with us.
Alison, thank you very much. that's not an unusual situation to be in, I don't think. You know, I mean, and I think, whether it be straight or lesbian or gay, male relationships, whatever it might be, it's two human beings in a long-term relationship, particularly with children. Wow, the kids make the whole thing very unsexy. It's going to make it harder and harder to find those times to be intimate and to connect. And I think it is really about connection. It sounds like you have that connection with your partner, which is the key. Yep. And again, I'm not, as Alison said, neither of us are telling you what to do at all. I would say that it sounds like you're thinking about, you know, maybe leaving or, God forbid, having an affair. I could thoroughly advise you not to do that.
We're not telling you, but we're advising.
I'm not telling you, and I'm certainly not judging you, but I would be advising you not to do that, because inviting another person into your relationship before it ends is just a whole world of pain. But what I would say is, and I think with lesbian relationships, it is harder, not least because... there isn't a particular appendage indicating that someone is excited. Oh, my God, Maureen, what is going on? Is that the cat?
Yeah, she's got up and she's knocking notebooks off.
She's knocking notebooks off. We're just at the point of talking about appendages and something fell.
And I think she's about to jump on this. I've got to take her down. Sorry, guys.
Okay, Maureen, you go and take her down. What was I saying? So... often, I think with women, it can be hard to find the indicator, what is the catalyst for us to have sex. Mm. You know, if you're in a heterosexual relationship, I imagine sometimes you wake up, your partner's got a boner, he's like, we've got to do something about this, and then you're like, oh God, all right, and then you think, I don't really want to, and then by the time you're into it, you're like, oh, I'm having a lovely time, I'm so glad that we did this, but you might not have initiated it. Okay, but the boner was there. But for lesbians, no one's bonering it. We're both like, do you know what I mean? There's also, and I did do some stand-up about this years ago, but there's also, it does take longer. And they've also got to set the time aside. You know, you can't be like, oh, we'll have a quickie, because a quickie is like fucking an hour and a half. So that can also be a bit of a downer. It's like, oh, now I'm going to get this going. Do I want to have sex? Do I want to have a bacon sandwich? One of the two.
I know. I love sex. But I was like, a bacon sandwich.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. A bacon sandwich often wins. But but the thing that you said, Alison, about having that sort of physical touch without it leading to sex, I think is so important. And also, you can do that in stages. It can be the holding of the hands, or putting, you know, just having some sort of connection when you're sitting on the sofa, even if it's just like one of you's got your legs on the other one's lap or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you can lead to something a bit more intimate. Try lying in bed together, you know, being in bed together without any clothes on. No talk of sex. No, we're not going to have sex. We're just going to be naked in bed together. We're going to cuddle. We're going to connect. We're going to rediscover each other's, like, sometimes it's like, I can't even remember what your tits feel like. You know, you're like, you reconnect that way. Yeah. And then that might then lead to sex, or it might not. It might just lead to this very intimate moment of you two being naked in bed. Maybe have a little cheeky massage. If you can get a massage out of it,
come
great,
on,
why not?
Yeah.
Do that. You've got to think about yourself.
Even Maureen's into that idea. Come on, massage.
Yeah. Yeah. You doesn't have to. You don't even have to have sex. Just be like, oh, I'd love it if you were naked and massaging me. Anyway, whatever. These are the things, but you have to set the time aside. Yeah. And it's so easy to go, oh, God, I don't know if I'm going to be bothered. And when you've got young kids, by the time you get to bed, the last thing you want to do is like a little bit of jiggy time. And then, you know, first thing in the morning, which used to be the time that Chloe and I, we were always like, bing, bang, bong. We can't do that anymore because it's like the kids are up at six going, hiya.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, well, you know. So, look. Don't despair is what all I would add to Alison's incredible advice. Don't despair. The prickle effect is a real thing, but it's not. You can get past it. You just have to both want to get past it. And I think you can. And I think if you said to your partner, look, this feels like the end of the road for us as an actual real couple, unless we do something, I think she'll be like, oh, no, I don't want that.
Yeah.
So let's try. Good luck and enjoy the naked massage. You're welcome.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double
cream. What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. Alison, thank you so much for your advices. As always, tippity bloody top. But now, let us find out. It has been a time for us, a whole 7 days, and we have been using our eyes to look at things on a box. What have we been looking at?
I watched the first episode of The Reckoning, which is a TV series about Jimmy Savile.
Is this the one with Steve Coogan?
Steve Coogan.
But I don't know if I fancy it.
I don't know either.
For those who aren't British, Jimmy Savile was a massive, massive...
paedophile.
Massive paedophile, but also a massive star in... He was a DJ. He was a TV presenter for Top Children's Show that I remember watching as a kid. Jim Will Fix It. He was... He knew lots of people. He was a big, big star.
He was very well connected
well
to,
connected,
like,
establishment.
Government.
Yeah.
The establishment, sorry, that's the word I was
saying. And anyway, he turned out to be a massive paedophile. Just got away with it for years and years and years.
Yeah.
I watched the first episode. Steve Coogan is fantastic as Jimmy Savile. Absolutely brilliant.
Do you want that in your life? Anyway, go on.
Yeah, I watched the first episode. It's really well done. He is a horrendous character, Jimmy Savile. They do it, you feel so uncomfortable because you see it from the victim's gays. It's not. It's not. You know. It's not. I can't think of the word. But sometimes these things can be like, you know, where they kind of get off on the on.
Yes, it becomes.
Yeah, I can't
like
think of
that
the word.
Jeffrey the Dharma thing. Yeah, where it's all from his perspective. It's like I don't fucking want it from your perspective.
I don't want to glorify.
It's not.
I don't want to glorify.
It's not glorifying it. It's not titillating. You feel really uncomfortable watching it. And I watched the first episode and I'm not sure I'm going to watch the other three. I think Steve Coogan, by the way, is brilliant as Jimmy Savile.
Sure.
And it is really well.
Oh, I don't doubt. He's fantastic, Steve.
Especially when he does people. Like whenever he imitates.
Oh, Stan Laurel.
Oh, he was brilliant as Stan
so
Laurel.
Good.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
It's really well done. I think it's been done with the victims in, like, it's kind of pleading the case of the victims.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd want to watch the whole three because he's such an horrendous character and it's such an uncomfortable watch. But it is really well done. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I think that's the problem. Because it is so well done, I don't think I can
watch it.
He's such a disgusting human being.
Yeah.
That I don't know if I want to invite that into my living room. and I bet it's brilliant. And Steve Coogan is fantastic in it. But I find him utterly repugnant. And the very idea of having.
Yeah.
Or even, I think there's a lot of it that we do know about, but I think there's plenty that I think if it's dramatised through the gaze of the victim, that's going to make it feel even more
uncomfortable.
More uncomfortable. So I don't know. Certainly at the moment, that's not what I'm looking for televisual wise. But I can see that that it's been really well done, and I know that Steve Coogan was interviewed about it, and he said that. He did find it very difficult during the filming, and that there was a certain particular scene where he was like, I don't want to do that, you know. I think they did do it, but they did it in a different way so that it wasn't quite as graphic. But he was like, this is too, I can't do this. So I think there was something that Jimmy Savile did that they intimate rather than that. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think he actually, whilst they were making the drama, found it quite difficult to be in his skin. Ugh. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen him interview, and he said the reason why he went on with it is because, you know, if you don't tell these stories and they happen again, you know, you've got to make people aware of what's going on, because the problem at the time was you know, a lot of, you know, if he chose, all predators choose people that can't really fight back, don't they? And they, you know, even people complained, they weren't believed. They were just, there was one girl, I don't know if it features in the story, but she was in a home and she reported it, and they locked her in a room and said, until you take back what you said, you're not coming out the room, because they just assumed she was lying, making it
up.
Oh, God, it makes me so cross.
Yeah.
Well, The Reckoning, that's on the BBC. If you live abroad, I don't know how you would access it. But certainly if you live in the UK, you can get it on iPlayer. And I think it's all... Is it all up there, Maureen?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
It's all up there. So maybe don't binge watch it. Maybe pace yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a pace yourself kind of show.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, have been watching... and again, I'm very slow to the... uptake with this, but I've been watching a documentary. It's on the BBC again, and it's called Once Upon a Time in Northern Ireland, and it is absolutely fantastic. I've heard it recommended a few times on different podcasts and different friends recommending it, and I thought, oh, I don't know if that's really my thing, watching a documentary about Northern Ireland. Anyway, it turns out it absolutely is. So it's a Talking Heads documentary, and it's talking to people from all aspects of the Troubles in Northern Ireland, whether they be ex-members of the IRA or the UVF, people who have lost people that they love, just people from all aspects, ex-police officers, people in the army, in the British Army. And that's just a Talking Heads documentary, and it's talking about where they are now and who they were then, how they felt then and how they feel now. And it's absolutely incredible. So, it's all unheard testimonies from all sides of the conflict. And it's from the makers of Once Upon a Time in Iraq. And I've really enjoyed it. And I think it's just really interesting the way there, you know, so much hatred. So, and also there's, you know, obviously there's footage of vox pops and news footage and what have you from the past. But it's what is so interesting about it is the vehement hatred that each side has for the other. And how the justification for doing horrific things was seen as, well, fuck them. They deserved it, you know? And then you talk to that person 25 years later and they're like, I can't believe I even thought that. That just tells you how, you know, how intense the hatred was and how, you know, that sectarianism, which still exists, obviously it hasn't gone away, but for most people in Northern Ireland, they just want to live happily side by side with each other. But the very idea that you would be in a room with a Protestant if you're a Catholic or if you and vice versa, once the troubles began, it just shows, you know, how quickly it can rise from zero to absolutely firebombing each other and committing horrific atrocities. But I really enjoyed it, and I think it's a must watch. And I think it's a must watch, particularly for British people, because we do not and we have not been told, unless you did history, I think that, you know, unless you studied history and that particular part of history was being explored, we don't know what was going on really in the Troubles. I realised I didn't really remember how it started.
No, I mean, like in Britain, because I was around, obviously, despite being 38, I was around when the Troubles were going on. And in Britain...
So was I.
In Britain, you just got the idea that, that Catholics and Protestants were just fighting each other. You had no idea the history, because Northern Irish history is not taught in Britain at all. And so you just had no idea of the background. You had no idea of the civil rights movement that, you know, that was going on, in or how different you were treated if you're Protestant or Catholic. No idea whatsoever. And it was just this idea that the Catholics and Protestants were just fighting each other for no particular reason, which was complete nonsense. And I remember being as ignorant as everybody else because we, you know, we didn't know what the Troubles really were about. And then I went to uni and I talked to I made some glib comments to this Northern Irish student who then gave me a potted history of Northern Ireland. I was like, oh, well, that's put me in my place because I was totally ignorant. And, you know, we just didn't get the background of it. It was just something that the Northern Irish did. And I grew up with loads of Southern Irish because we, you know, in the area that I lived in London. And then we got on fine with them. We were like, I was thinking to myself, where's the problem? Because all my mum's friends, my mum, dad's friends were Southern Irish, you know, Catholics, and we're Presbyterian Scots. So it was just complete ignorance in Britain. British history is not taught in England. It's English history that's taught in England.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think it's the individual's responsibility to go out and find out more. And so this, you'll be very happy to hear that this documentary fills in all of those gaps. So watch it. I think it's 6 episodes. I've only seen 4. It might be 5 episodes. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Go out and watch it. It's absolutely brilliant. It's really engaging. It's really moving. Oh, it makes you think about all the other crap that's going on in various different parts of the world. And you think, I don't even know how that Good Friday Agreement was made, but thank God it was.
And what's scary is the way that the British government just ignored the Good Friday Agreement.
And now just trying to undermine it.
I mean, you just think, because they don't care. They don't care about what happens in Ireland.
No.
Or in Northern Ireland.
No, this government doesn't care about what happens here.
Oh, no, that's
what
true.
Happens in Ireland. Anyway. That's my recommendation. Alison, I believe you have a horror up your sleeve.
Something a little bit lighter,
Tory
everyone.
Party conference. No, sorry. Yeah.
That is a horror movie. That was a horror day. Because I was thinking about, look, there's so many horror movies that obviously have elements of sex in it. So I was like, all right, let's think about sex. So I went with something.
Let's think about sex, baby.
Something absolutely ridiculous. Also, thank you very much for pulling up that reference, Maureen. That's a great, that is early 90s. That is like peak of my happy days. So this movie, 1992, it is a classic Stephen King novel remake. It is Sleepwalkers, everyone.
Oh. I think I've actually seen that.
Yeah. Why am I recommending Sleepwalkers? Well, listen, here we go. Here's the story. A nomadic mother-son duo of energy vampires settle in a remote town and hunt for virgin women to feed on. They soon find their new victim in Tanya Robertson, a girl in high school.
Oh, God, this looks so bad.
The makeup in it it is the worst you've ever seen.
I haven't seen this.
When they become cats. So they're cat-like energy vampires. You're not selling it, Alison.
You're really not selling it.
But look, at if you just want something absolutely ridiculous that is like... What is the term, fodder for the brain? Would that be it? Just ridiculous nonsense that is sleepwalkers, everyone. Energy vampires that look like plasticine cats. It is.
And when you say plasticine cats,
I am describing it perfectly.
Absolutely mean.
Nailed it.
Cats.
Clay cat. It's so...
Jenna, you'll be watching this tonight with Chloe?
I don't think I will. It gets 29% of Rotten Tomatoes. Don't let that.
That's more than I thought it would.
Yeah.
But 4.5 out of 5 on Amazon.
Yeah.
And 5.3 out of 10 on IMDb. So lots to look at there. There's Machen Amick. Remember her? My God, she's in it. Ron Perlman.
Stephen King
makes an appearance, no less.
Thank you. Stephen King always makes an appearance in all of his films, which I do love.
Alice Krieg? Is that her?
Yeah, she's great.
Alice Krieger.
Alice Krieger. Yeah. She's great at being a creepster.
She is so good in this. She actually has just a natural cat look to her, so it does help
she's
with the makeup.
She's very feline, actually, Alice Krieger. She's... So she's in it. Look,
and she's a sexy mom. She's a sexy mom in this movie, if I do say. Cat mom. Sexy cat. Maureen, you're into cats. You'll love this.
No, like, I've got enough of this with Jamie. I'm trying to keep her off the blinking computer.
Well, do you know what's interesting, Maureen? You know how cats keep coming to your house in this movie because they're cat-like vampires. But actually, cats are their enemy. Cats are the thing that destroy them. Ooh. But cats are drawn to them. So often they look out their windows and there's just cats everywhere. And I was like, is Maureen
like
an energy vampire? Because it sounds like that's what's happening. They're just gathering around.
That's why I'm always tired.
That's why I'm always tired.
Jen's tired, Maureen's peppy. You can tell they've done shows together.
We're together. Maureen's the peppy one and I'm flipping exhausted.
She's an energy vampire, everyone.
I knew it.
So Sleepwalkers, 1992, absolute trash. If you just want a nonsense bad horror movie, this is up there in one of my favorite bad horror movies. So give it a go. Yeah,
Alison, thank you so much for your horror recommendation.
You're welcome.
Maureen Younger. Here she is. She has a corner. It is full of things that we would like to put in our mouths. I don't know what I'm saying.
Wow, wait.
Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Well, if I ever do internet dating, that's going to be my
cultural corner.
Okay. Thanks for that wonderful intro, Jen.
I'm so sorry. I feel really unwell now.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Even better. Thank you for digging your hole even deeper. Right. The cultural corner for this week is Michael Caine, because he's just announced he's retiring at the age of 90.
Yes. What a great idea, Maureen. Well done.
Yeah,
he's retiring,
great
and he's one of the biggest British film stars ever. He was also an international global superstar, and he broke a lot of barriers. I mean, we were talking about class the other week. He was probably the first actor to have a working class accent and be a major film star, because people who played Cockneys, leading role as a Cockney, were usually posh people who put on a Cockney accent. And before him, Cockneys were like, "Hello, Governor, you're a jolly Cockney." Do you know what I mean? It was... You know, they had a very patronising view towards working class people. And he was the first guy who really didn't do RP, just spoke working class. I mean, it came at the right time. It came in the 60s. And he portrayed working class and gangsters differently. Because when he in Get Carter, he played a gangster. And up to then, gangsters in British movies had been like either funny or a bit of a buffoon. And he grew up in the East End. He said, that's not how gangsters are. And if you ever watch Get Carter, it's a really hard hitting film, and he's a real tough guy in it. So he basically, ironically, he became first famous in Zulu, which is a great movie, in 1964, about Rorke's Reef. Is it Rorke's Reef? Based in South Africa.
He's so young,
and he plays a posh officer. And they were saying the reason that he got the role was originally was up for a Cockney part, was because Cy Enfield was an American and didn't realise about the class differences in Britain, didn't realise that somebody with a Cockney accent would be asked to play an officer, you know, but they'd be limited to what they were doing. And he said, can you play posh? And he went, yeah. And he's really good as the posh.
It's very clipped.
Yeah, very good as the posh officer in Zulu. And then in 1965, this is what made him a big star. He played Harry Palmer in the Ipcress file, which was like an antidote or whatever to the Bond movies, because he plays this really down. It's like and he had glasses on because he said he saw what happened to Sean Connery and he became stuck in Bond. So he had glasses on as Harry Palmer. So that became big. He could just take the glasses off and be somebody else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a really good fight. If you haven't seen them, the Harry Palmer films are very good. 1966 became massive. You did Alfie, which I wouldn't say is in the vanguard of the feminist movement as a movie.
I hate that film. Yeah. Didn't he win an Oscar for that?
No. I think he might be nominated. He didn't win an Oscar, but it's off its time. It's not very pro women. It's very off its time. But he's very good in it.
People were wanging on about that in the 90s. Everyone's like, oh, because I think they did a remake with Jude Law.
They did a remake with Jude Law.
And so everyone was going on about it. So I finally watched it and was like, yeah. What?
He's awful in it as a character. He's great as an actor, but he's awful. It's an awful character. But it was, I suppose, symptomatic of kind of how men thought in the 60s. Which is very depressing.
I think it's how a lot of men think now.
Yeah,
to be honest.
True. And then there's also, this is like one of the most British heist movies ever, The Italian Job.
Oh, yeah.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. Have you seen it, Alison?
No, but I know of it. I know that quote.
Does he actually say that?
He does actually say that. Yeah. You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. I mean, it's complete nonsense. You've got Noel Coward as a chief gangster. I mean, you know, it is very... But Michael Caine said he went to the cinema, there was nothing amusing on. He thought, that's what I want to make. I want to make an amusing movie. And it's very entertaining. One of my favourites is The Man Who Would Be King with Sean Connery from 1975, directed by John Huston. And they play two soldiers who kind of get... I think it's in Afghanistan or somewhere around there. And Sean Connery gets made a king. They think he's a god. And it's about their friendship.
I've seen that.
Oh, it's a really, really good movie. They're really good together. A Bridge Too Far from 1977, which is about the Arnhem attempt by the Brits and Americans to take Holland during the Second World War. And he plays an officer in that. Educating Rita, of course, 1983.
Oh, that is an absolute classic. And Julie Walters, she's young in it.
And she's fantastic. She was Oscar nominated for
she's
that.
Amazing.
She's yeah. amazing. Yeah, she but was. He's really good. He's really good as the teacher, the drunk teacher, who gets actually in the end gets educated by Rita. But he's brilliant in that. Absolutely brilliant. Then he got Oscar Best Support Actors for Hannah and Her Sisters, which is a Woody Allen movie, and Cider House Rules. Obviously, he played Batman in 2005. No, he didn't play Batman. He was in Batman.
He did not play Batman.
I was like, wait a minute. He did. I don't remember.
He played Alfred.
That was a different version. Old Codger plays Batman. So he played Alfred in Batman. And, he's got a film out now with Glenda Jackson called The Great Escaper, which is a true life story of a British World War II veteran who kind of escaped from his nursing home to attend the 70th anniversary of D-Day. So that's released now. So you can see that now in the cinemas. And also mention his workshop, which you can get on YouTube, where he gives a workshop to students about screen acting. And it's probably the best workshop on screen acting you could probably look at. Because if anything, he knows how to act for screen. And he gives you such good advice. So if you're doing some screen acting and you're new to it, I would recommend watching that. It's absolutely brilliant and it's available on YouTube.
Thank you very much, Maureen Younger, for your cultural corner. That was a very comprehensive list of Michael Caine's back catalogue. And a lot of that you can get on, I imagine you can stream on various different platforms. Well, anyway, Google it. Do some work, for heaven's sake. But Maureen Younger, thank you very much for letting us know who the
Batman
new
Batman is.
it's lovely to see Jamie. Oh, we've missed. Jamie's there as well now. Maureen has moved her screen around to allow us to see the little cat sitting on the cat tree.
Oh, so happy.
# living her best life.
So happy, little kitten. Not a care in the world, but what we want to hear about now is cares. We want to hear about cares. We want to hear about things that are obnoxious. We want to hear about things that are bugging us. Jen, tell us, what's getting your goat this week?
don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. Well, it's probably me, actually.
Are you getting your own goat?
Every now and again, we have to point the lens inwards, don't we? Do you agree?
Yeah.
And I think today's the day where you have to acknowledge some things about yourself. And I am annoying.
Oh, yeah.
So I can put that out there. Yeah.
Yeah, Maureen!
Sorry, all right. I'm agreeing with Jen.
No, it's important. Thank you, Maureen. Finally, she's agreeing with me. Do you know, it's taken a long time for her to agree with anything I've ever said.
Oh, God. All right.
I'm losing everything. I cannot find anything. I don't know where anything is. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I leave the house. I'm like, where are my keys? Where are my phone? Who am I? Where are my trousers? I think in the last week been late because I lost my keys. Then I stayed at a friend's house. I lost their keys. Then I couldn't find my wallet. Then I found my wallet but couldn't find the card I needed. It was in my wallet. I had no idea what I'd done with the card. I did have the wallet, but no bloody card. I never can find my glasses. I don't know where my glasses are. My phone. Constantly no idea where my phone is. Whenever I leave a hotel room, you can guarantee I've left something in there. Guarantee. Have yet to leave a hotel room without leaving an item that I possess that I either have to ask the hotel room to send to me or go, oh, well, I guess those pyjamas are gone. I can't take it anymore. And everyone's always very patient with me. Jen, it's because you're a bit run down, but maybe you should think about writing a list. And I always say, absolutely, God, you're right. I should write a list. Do you know what? The next time I'm staying at a hotel, I'm going to write a list and then I'm going to tick the list off to make sure I have all of the things that I need. Do I write a list? No, I don't write a list. I turn up and go, I think I'll be able to wing it. No, I can't wing it. I can't. So that's me getting my goat, is that. There we are. I'm beginning to think maybe I have ADD because I, you know, without the hype a bit, because I never know where anything is. I just completely, I'll walk into a room and go, why have I come in here? I don't know why I'm here.
Yeah.
Sometimes what I find really frustrating, and I don't know if you can relate to this, is when you have something, it's in your hand and you go, oh, right, okay. And then something distracts you. You go, oh, I've just got to quickly do this. And then you go, oh, where's that thing that I had in my hand?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That thing that I had in my hand, what did I do with it? Oh, wait a second. And then you're searching. You'll search the house. You're from top to bottom. You'll be tearing everything apart going, where is it? Where the hell is this bloody thing? And all you've done is you've just put it up on a little shelf that you never usually put it on.
Yeah, yeah.
But you then have to look for it for an hour, even though... So then you're late for wherever you've got to get to because you need that little thing before you leave the house. So that's where I'm at with myself, in myself, about myself. Myself is annoying is what I'm saying.
You know, as far as self goats go, I'll let you have that one because it's not, you know, if you were going to be down on yourself, I was going to jump in. But I will allow you to be agitated with the fact that you are forgetting some things. It can be annoying.
Yeah.
Apple tags. Let's buy you a bunch of Apple tags and tag every single one of your possessions.
Those tile things. That's what I do. You got them, probably never used them. But I do that with my phone. Because if you find your...
Yeah.
So for my keys, I can press the app. And then alternatively, if you can't find your phone, which is sometimes often I do and it's on silent, you can press the key and the phone will ring.
Yeah.
You've got those. I gave them to you for Christmas.
So it does help to...
Which you didn't like. You didn't really appreciate.
She lost them. No, I'm kidding.
Do you know what, Warren? I'm just having a little rummage in here. I'm sure it's in here somewhere.
Yeah.
They do help.
She's lost them.
I know, exactly. She
do
has
left. Do you know what, Alex?
You need to tile your tiles.
Somewhere. I have lost them. Clothes gone somewhere. It will be squirreled
but
away.
But you know,
that would
be quite
place.
Good to do. Is I, when I go away, I put one in my bag.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I would put one on your computer, yeah, your headphones, and your phone, anything that is, you know, the yeah, essentials.
Right.
Pajamas, they come and go, Jen. Come on. And I also want to say, bless you, look at, you've left phone chargers around the UK for people to use. So I think you're a good person.
Yeah, yeah. I left my Mac charger at Karen. She's found it. That's quite a
Oh, well, that's good. You can get that back. But I've lost about 6 phone chargers on this tour.
But there's a lot of cleaning ladies out there that are very grateful for the phone chargers that they now
have. Well, only if they've got a Samsung. If they've got an Android phone, which I've noticed nobody does. Everyone's got an iPhone. Then help yourselves. Well, hey, look, none of us are perfect. That's the thing that that's the takeaway, isn't it? I know a lot of people have been listening to this podcast for a long time thinking, Jen seems to have got it all figured out and she seems perfection personified. Turns out, no, I also get things wrong. So there we are. Well, let's knock this one on the head, because normally we would end it with perfection, which is, of course, the goat bit, because that is obviously the best bit of the show. No offence, you guys. But today we can all admit that I'm not perfect. You're welcome. Maureen, your face, you look like you're going to punch me.
Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Or you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.